Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is Thursday, March 23rd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to whatever podcast application you use, subscribe to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Love having you guys on live, though. That's my favorite part, where we can have some discussion. Want to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions we can answer? Anybody have anything?
Well, I learned Go ahead. This is Paul up in Traverse City.
Hey.
Culligan dealership. Hey, how are
yeah.
you?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. WQA class was very interesting yesterday in regards to different selected type of anion resins for removing nitrates and tannins and such. And we were just kind of picking the brains a little bit of Paul and Peter and Tanya, and it was very interesting to learn a little bit about the nitrate select resins and their capabilities and the much lower capacity that they have than what our company believed to be true. So that's if you're doing any types of systems out there, that as Paul would put it, regarding health related issues, talk to those resin manufacturers and make sure that these systems are being set up properly and that there's much reserve capacity available. I do like the double tank systems, of course, for anything like that when it's health related, but make sure that you understand what the capacity of that resin really is compared to maybe what an assumption was given to you and you just went with that for years.
Yeah.
You know?
So. It's so interesting, and thank you for that. I agree. And okay, there's two things there. First off, I appreciate the plug for the certification in going through those courses, because it's amazing what you can learn even if you've been in the industry for a long time. You know, I'm pushing 25 years, and I was sitting at lunch yesterday listening to somebody talk about having to do treatment for a company that mixes pesticides for agricultural, for farm communities. And this, they couldn't figure out, they were putting this pesticide on and they couldn't figure out why these bugs were coming back like a week or 2 weeks later. And apparently these were environmentally safe pesticides and, you know, kind of specialty pesticides. And they couldn't figure it out until they realized that the manufacturer, and this is to your point, Paul, that it's really important to abide by the manufacturer's specifications and guidelines, because the manufacturer's guidelines on these chemicals said that the water that they were mixed with before you spread them had to be within a very narrow pH range. And because it was off on the pH, even sitting overnight, the pH could change because of the carbon dioxide leaving the water or the air coming into the water. They would mix these things and leave them in these open tanks overnight, and it would change the pH outside of the scale, and so it made these chemicals not effective. And it's kind of like what you're saying. You know, you're in the industry, you think you know how these things work, you understand the basic concept, and so you put the stuff in and don't really look at it, you know, exactly what those manufacturers' parameters are until you run into a problem, and that becomes especially important if it's a health-related issue, as you're mentioning. So you're right, it's really important, and I think there's more of a risk for those of us that have been in the industry longer than maybe those of us that are newer in the industry, because we just go and do what we do based on what we think we know or what we've always done, and things change. And so it's a great idea to challenge yourself to make sure you're not misremembering, to make sure that you you have all the right information, and sometimes technology changes. And so what was real or true for a manufacturer, you know, 5 years ago may not necessarily be that way now, because, you know, maybe there's been an adjustment in the equipment or in the material or so what they've done. So that's a really good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. Anybody else? So I wanted to, today, we are coming to you live from Washington, D.C. today, and we, as part of the two-day WQA Washington, D.C. fly-in, and for many of you that may not know exactly what that is or who have never participated, I wanted to kind of give an overview of what it was, because it's such an incredible experience. This is my fifth time participating, one of which was during the, what I affectionately refer to as the zombie apocalypse. You know, when the world shut down, we did that via Zoom last year. It's so much nicer being back on Capitol Hill. And in fact, today I'm kind of excited because the times that I have done this before, I've always only ever had an opportunity to visit the House side of Capitol Hill, and today I will have the opportunity to visit the Senate side, which is pretty cool. That's kind of exciting, and I'll explain in a few minutes what that means. I was just talking to Paul about that, and can't really assume that people know what I mean by House side or Senate side when it comes to the geography of the way Capitol Hill is laid out. But I know that we have a couple people that actually are here, Jen being one of them, that have to leave here in just a few minutes to go to their first meeting. So I've got a little bit more time. So Jen, are you here? Are you on the call? She may have already had to hop off. That's possible. Anybody else here on the call that's here with us in D.C.?
Good morning. Yes, this is Elaine.
Hey, Elaine. Good morning. So you're here. Now, is this your first time here? I forgot to ask you that. Have you guys been here before? Is this your first time?
No, I've been here before. Not as okay. many times as any, but I've been here, yes.
Yeah. So, so what's your, tell me your thoughts, your impression. What, you know, I'm going to kind of describe what we're doing here in a minute, but, you know, and I would like to share with everybody the talking points that we all as an organization are going to be discussing with the members that we have an opportunity to speak with. But what do you think of this? I mean, why should somebody from our organization take the time and the expense to come to Washington, D.C. and participate in this event, in your opinion?
Well, it's always nice to be around peers and peers that maybe do something different than you do. However, all of us were in the water treatment business in some way. So yesterday was World Water Day, and so that's nice to educate our elected officials about what we do and how important it is. So I think just the opportunity to, I mean, you know, Washington, D.C. is a very historical place, and so just being in the buildings and visiting with our legislature is really an honor, and so that's why we come.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yesterday, you know, we had the reception, and there's probably 30 people from WQA here somewhere in there. We are doing this jointly with National Groundwater Association as well, which, you know, kind of they're the well drillers and you know, their focus is on rural area. And so our interests are often, in fact, Motor Vitality is our members of both WQA and National Groundwater. And so I would encourage you to look into National Groundwater as well, but they actually have quite a few more members than WQA does. So it's kind of nice to be here jointly, but and to get that perspective, because they do bring kind of a different perspective to the, you know, to the arena. But it also gives us power in numbers. you know, when we go in and we are consistently sharing the same messaging, basically. But I think yesterday, you know, what you usually do, it's usually a 2-day event. For most people, there's some people who come in earlier, but for most people, it's a 2-day event. And on the first day, which was yesterday, we have several speakers. There are, we usually offer an award. So this year we gave on the Senate side to Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy Baldwin. We gave an award for her work on the Healthy H2O Act, and also to the gentleman from South Carolina. How do you remember his name off the top? The congressman from North Carolina, it was, rather. Hang on, I'll tell you his name. Yeah.
Rouser.
Yeah, Rouser, Representative Rouser. Thank you very much. Yeah, and he came and spoke with us. But then we had a reception, had an opportunity to mingle with other members from the industry. So that's always great. For me, I think it is really cool to be in the Capitol and sitting down in the offices and getting to see this historic building and how this stuff gets, you know, how this stuff happens. But in a nutshell, when people say, well, why should we do this? In general, I usually say because these guys, you know, there aren't many, if any, members of our representatives, either on the House or the Senate side, that have come up through their lives with any kind of experience related to what we do. And so, and, you know, but yet they're responsible. And this is, by the way, both at the federal and at the state and local level, this is the case, that many times the representatives, the people that we elect to represent us, have very little experience in our field. They certainly don't have the expertise that we have in it. Yet they are responsible for voting on, you know, for writing and voting on the legislation that impacts our businesses every single day. And so the way they become knowledgeable and make decisions on how they should vote and how their vote impacts members of their districts is by us going in there and sitting with them and explaining what does it mean? What is the difference? And, you know, even at a rudimentary level, I mean, a point of entry or point of use, you know, many of them don't know that term. And there was much mention about this yesterday when we were talking, that even when I came the first time 5 or 6 years ago, PFAS, we were talking a lot about PFAS, this emerging contaminant, and there was nobody on, very few people that had ever heard of it. Nobody had ever heard of PFAS. It wasn't this national issue. And now, just this last week, the EPA has proposed a minimum drinking water requirements for PFAS. And so, and I think that has a lot to do with individuals like us in related industries coming in and sitting down and having these meetings and educating these legislators. And also keep in mind that there are other associations. I mean, this at its base level, and this is something that the late Dave Loveday, who was part of WQA's government affairs until he passed a couple years ago. This was something that he taught me, which was that the primary purpose of an association, any association, no matter what it is for basically legislative influence. That is its purpose. Because so the WQA, people say, well, why should I be a member of WQA? Why should I participate in WQA? Because WQA is the voice that helps impact our businesses, that helps voice what affects us when we are out there working every day. And this is part of the charter, a critical part of the charter, okay? And so when you look at you have the Plumbers Association or the Builders Association or the American Water Works Association, which is the association that represents the municipalities, when you know that they are going in and having meetings, and I mean, would you want the Plumbers Association. There's nothing wrong with plumbers, and they're an important part of our industry and economy, and you know, we need them. They have a different expertise than we as water treatment professionals do. But would you want the Plumbers Association going in and having influence over all of the laws that are written that have an impact on our industry? You know, on the water treatment industry? Of course we wouldn't, because while they are related, they're not quite the same. They're slightly different. And so that's why we come, to get that voice, to be able to present our message, to get on a consistent messaging, and to be able to educate and give information to the members so that they can make informed decisions. And that, I got to tell you, one of the reasons I love, for all the reasons Elaine said, you know, the networking and the sitting down and learning, and it's much more intimate, right? When you go to the big conventions, the WQA, you know, they're a lot, you know, busier, and it's a lot more people, more crowded, and there's some awesome reasons to go do that. But I love this because these often are the key people in the industry, you know, the people that have the most passion for, you know, for where the industry goes. And of course, not everybody that has that passion is able to make it. I mean, it fits in the time schedule and that sort of thing. But it is really cool to be able to sit down and really talk and learn about them at a personal level. It's more than just passing, you know, and in fact, many of you that are on this call often, know that Elaine comes on. Her and Ken live in California. We had an opportunity to sit down with dinner last night with Elaine and Ken, which we have never done. I've known them for a decade and have passed at all the shows. And by the way, I really enjoyed that, Elaine. It was so much fun. It's a good dinner and great company. But that's the type of thing that you get with the networking. But beyond that, the exciting part of doing an event like this is knowing that at its core, this is why we should be members of this association. Everything else that WQA offers, the education and the certification and the resources and all of that, those are there to attract membership. Remember, the most important part of being an association is to have strong membership, because when we do go sit down and we talk to these legislators, ultimately what it comes down to is they want to know how many voters your association influences. You know, how many people are in, you know, how they want votes, right? And yes, they want to represent their constituents, but their constituents are made up of voters, and some of their constituents are in our industry, and their votes have an impact on what we do, you know. And it's easy to forget that there are other issues than what we see on TV, you know, on the news, when they stand up and pontificate in front of the cameras and you know, and everything these days in the media seems to be so polarized and you know, on they focus on just a few issues. The reality, and this is kind of neat actually, and it goes way beyond any D or R or letter after their name, but when you sit down with them in their offices, they become somebody who you get to see the reason that they ran for office. You get to see what their real purpose is. And for the most part, my sense is that they genuinely do, you know, they have different opinions on how to get there, but they genuinely do want to make decisions in a way that is going to help their constituents. Elaine, you've been here before. Have you found that to be the case as well? Delusia, I might have lost the line. So I know some of the people that are here actually have to take off and go to meetings. So I wanted to just share, some of the talk. Talk about the consistent messaging. And this reminds me a little bit, you know how when you see, and the government of course does this, but if you ever watch any like the Sunday morning talk shows or anything like that, you can flip from one channel to the other and you'll see the same individuals or people from the administration or from one party or the other. And they basically are saying the exact same thing. This is part of a messaging strategy, right? Where you, in order to be effective, there is a decision on what the talking points need to be, and the message has to be consistent. And I thought it might be kind of interesting to share with you guys some of the things that we're talking about. All of us, we discussed this and we're there. And remember, you can have your own opinions, and that's important, of course. We're all individuals, right? They're opinions. But when we're here, we're representing the industry and the organization. And so WQA, you know, sat down and they gave us a list of things that we want to that we want to share with the legislators. So it doesn't matter who we're going in and talking to, which, you know, whether they are a D or an R or an I, it really doesn't matter. Here's some of the PFAS talking points, for example, the bullet pointed. And most of these meetings are very short. Usually, I mean, they're usually scheduled for a half hour, although a lot of times they're only 10 minutes or, you know, because they get busy and, you know, they have other things to do. There's been members that have had to run out to, you know, go back to the floor to vote or, you know, to have a different, they have a different meeting. So, although in my experience, I have been here where we had a 10-minute meeting scheduled and it ended up going an hour because they became so interested in what we were talking about that they decided to, you know, to move it around and schedule a different meeting. And so, but here's, for example, some of the PFAS talking points. So, and by now, most of the members are aware of what PFAS are and what categories, but they may not be aware, you know, it may not be their immediate focus on their legislation. So here's just a couple of the bullet points that we're talking about. So, point of use, point of entry water treatment systems can assist with the reduction of PFAS in drinking water. This includes systems that use reverse osmosis, granular activated carbon, and anion exchange. And it's actually kind of cool because Frank DeSilva from ResinTech brought everybody little vials, little samples of different types of resin that would remove. So he brought us a little sample of PFAS media, he brought us a little sample of carbon, he brought us a little sample of anion resin, and we have these four vials to actually put in the hands. I mean, think about it, most of these people have never seen the media. I mean, they're voting on, you know, the technologies and the requirements to remove this stuff. Most of them never seen PFAS resin or media, you know, so that puts it in their hand and makes it a little more real, right? Another bullet point, these final barrier technologies are already being utilized by many individuals, households, and businesses to improve their drinking water quality. WQA is the technical resource for policymakers to understand the feasibility of these water treatment systems that are ready to be deployed immediately and in response to this public health concern. Now, this is an important one because everybody has probably seen on this call that the EPA did propose a guideline of 4 parts per trillion as a federally mandated minimum drinking water requirement for PFAS. Now that is not completely finalized yet. It's a proposed minimum. It's got to go up for review, and they have to accept comments on it and those types of things. And so there are likely going to be people that are going to ask about that, about you know, the EPA's proposal and what we think. And so this is what WQA has asked us to do, is to say that WQA is still reviewing the supporting documentation for EPA's proposed regulation and plans to submit comments after conducting a careful review of the supporting documentation, available research, and the industry's capabilities. And if we need to go into more detail, we have to remind them that there are 2 existing national standards for testing and certifying water filtration systems that both offer elective claims to reduce PFOA and PFAS. The standards currently test the product's reduction claims from an influent of 1,500 parts per trillion to a cumulative effluent of 20 parts per trillion. Although test data shows that many products can perform beyond this metric, 4 parts per trillion may present some challenges for the industry. We're working diligently to conduct an in-depth review of the efficacy of these products and levels proposed in the coming years. So what bottom line is, this is something that we're taking a look at. Right now, to get a certification to reduce PFAS, you have to have a system that's capable of reducing PFAS from 1,500 to 20 parts per trillion. Okay, and by the way, that's like removing or testing for 1 grain of salt in an Olympic-sized swimming pool, just to put that in perspective. So one grain of salt in Olympic size swimming, and to take, so to take it down to four parts per trillion is like a tenth of a grain of salt. So it's you know, that's pretty minute, requires some sophistication, and there are money. There, you know, of course, it's going to take money and recertification and challenges. So we they're cautioning us as members to not go in there. And WQA's got to research this. They've got to look at that impact and have a say on it. So that what we want to remind the members of is that we are the resource. We're the technical resource to go to when looking for those types of. We know the industry and we know the testing, but we. You know, we don't have enough information. We've got to review it yet. The association has expressed on several occasions its interest in collaborating with the EPA and the USDA and other government agencies to help increase access to safe drinking water across the country through the use of POE systems. Bottom line, you guys, it's super expensive for a municipality to put in a treatment plant to treat PFAS and PFOA. We can do it at a fraction of the cost, with point of entry, point of use. And they need to be aware of that. You know, and that's something that we are going to talk a lot about, the Healthy H2O Act, which is sponsored by, it's a bipartisan bill sponsored by Tammy Baldwin and Susan Collins, a Democrat and a Republican. And basically what that is going to do is offer assistance to small communities and rural communities that, you know, to be able to put in point of entry, point of use equipment, either through tax credits or through grants or those types of things. And that's, you know, that's pretty significant. That has a direct impact on us. So, anyway, any questions on this? Cause we have about 3 minutes and I know that, I kind of blew a lot of information there. Any questions or comments about this, any of it? Anybody still with me here? bottom line is this, you guys, if you ever have an opportunity in the future to join this event in any way, it is one of the most rewarding and, in my opinion, exciting events that WQA offers. And as I said, it really goes to the heart of, I mean, just a few of us here really, it goes to the heart of being able to have a say and have an influence on how this industry impacts all of us in the industry. And so to have an opportunity to have that voice and to sit down and speak to the people that really have our lives in their hands in many ways, right? That's our representatives do. You know, it just is an incredible experience, and it's really neat for me personally to be, you know, part of the legislative process in some small way, to see it and to, you know, just to be part of something much bigger. It's pretty cool. It's a lot different than the other events at WQA. Offers, you know, where those events are more about networking and improving ourselves individually in some ways. This has in many ways an impact on the way we bring our products and services to market and what allows us, but that also has an impact on society and on our customers in a roundabout way. So any final thoughts or comments? I appreciate you guys sticking around, listening, and on my little monologue here. Elaine, thanks for your comments. With that, I have to bail out because I have to go to our first meeting. So thanks, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Kelly. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.